Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, December the 20th, not long to go now until the big day. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. And our top story is that a woman who told police she was too drunk to remember stabbing a teenager in Whitstable has been sent to prison. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this top story. Kate.
Well, Abby Lucas told officers she drank several bottles of wine on the day of the attack in August last year. Her victim was just 19 at the time and had only known her for a few weeks. He'd also described their relationship as friends with benefits. He'd been staying at her flat in temporary housing accommodation in Whitstable and a row broke out after she scratched his neck with her acrylic nails. As he bent down to collect his things, she stabbed him.
And how serious were his injuries?
Well, he was flown to a hospital in London and needed stitches to a 6-centimetre wound. At the time, he thought he'd been punched and continued to collect his things and walked out of the flat. It was at that point one of his friends started screaming that he'd been stabbed.
What happened when police were called to the property?
Well, Lucas, who now lives in Clifton Place in Margate, was discovered hiding under a staircase in the basement, she claims for her own safety. The weapon was found in a bush outside the following day. When the 30-year-old was interviewed, she said she'd blacked out and didn't know what had happened. She went on to say that if she had carried out the attack, it would have been in self-defence.
And finally, Kate, can you tell us what happened in court?
The jury cleared Lucas of wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, but found her guilty of wounding. She's been jailed for a year.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and it's thought more than 23 million car journeys will be made today as we head away for Christmas. It's even been dubbed Frantic Friday. Well, Operation Brock is in force on the M20 to manage cars and lorries heading to Eurotunnel and the Port of Dover. So first, let's hear from Chris Wood, who is AA Patrol of the Year.
We're expecting it to be the busiest come about 5 p.m. Especially purely because you've got everyone leaving work for the Christmas period, people going out doing the Christmas shopping and also travelling to your friends and families for the Christmas festivities. As well as that, yeah, we're still expecting Saturday and Monday, the 23rd, to be very busy as well. Roughly, we're expecting around 23 million drivers on the road. So it's going to be... Yeah, a lot of traffic about.
And it might feel at times like all of those are in Kent in particular, because, of course, we have access to the ports and we've got things like the Dartford Crossing. Do you think Kent will be a particular hotspot?
Places like that are going to be, yeah, definitely traffic hotspots, where people are going to be going to travel to. Places such as retail parks, big shopping centres, we're expecting to be, big hotspots, traffic hotspots as well. Majority of places where you got one entrance in, one entrance out, we're expecting a lot of bottlenecking from traffic. With the majority, with the vast amount of people that we're expecting to see on the roadside, and just the major routes as well. So A roads, motorways, places going to the airports, docks, places like that. We're expecting to be very, very busy.
What advice would you like to give anyone who is setting off on a journey? Perhaps they're travelling to visit family or they're making a slightly longer trip abroad. What advice would you have for them?
So our advice is, obviously, we're not asking people to avoid travelling or avoid going anywhere. We still want people to to travel and go do your shopping, go around places, go to where you need to go to. But it's just a case of plan your route before you set off. Can you travel a little bit early or travel in the evening if you're comfortable doing so? If you are travelling early hours or you're in the evening and you do have children, just make sure that they're well occupied, obviously, because you need a bit more concentration while travelling at those times. Just plan your route.
And what's it going to be like for you guys? I presume you're still working 24/7 all over the festive period, aren't you?
Yeah, so we're still going to be at work. We're expecting Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, obviously, to be a lot quieter than this weekend. We are still expecting to be busy. Last year we attended over 2,400 breakdowns. We are still out 24 hours on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve.
If you are in the unfortunate situation of breaking down, if it's on a busy motorway or a busy A road in particular, it's a scary thing to be involved in. What's the best advice in that situation?
Obviously, we want you to be as safe as possible. So the best advice for us is turn your hazard lights on and turn your side lights on so your car's as visible as it can be. Exit from the passenger side of the vehicle where you possibly can do. Make sure it's safe to do so, to exit from the vehicle. And if there's a barrier or a grass bank in, you know, if it's safe to do so, get yourself away from the vehicle, over the barrier and up the grass banking, just to get yourself away from the vehicle and stay safe as possible.
Next, the Dover council leader's been telling the podcast he's keeping everything crossed for a queue-free Christmas. Dover Tap on the A20 can also be used to control flows of traffic to the town's port. I've been speaking to councillor Kevin Mills.
Well, I want people to be able to get away, but as importantly, if not more importantly, I want the residents of the district to be able to go about their duties and their responsibilities to do their Christmas shopping and to care for their loved ones and for staff to get to work. So any peak traffic time always fills me with a bit of dread. But that said, I spoke to the officers today. We've not been notified of any potential issues. One can only, to be perfectly honest, live in hope. But again, you know, we are not the highway authority. We are not the police. You know, we just get caught up in it and the residents just get caught up in it all of the time. So, yeah, the numbers will be high. We just hope that actually that they can cope and we don't get a situation where we've got high numbers, bad roads and terrible weather all at the same time, which is a recipe for total and utter carnage. But so we've not been notified of any potential issues other than the sheer volume of traffic. So say we live in hope.
Obviously, they look at as much data as they can as to how many people are booked onto ferries and what have you. Operation Brock has been in place for the past week. Everyone admits that's not ideal, but does it help?
The trouble is, this is perpetual. December, it will be bad. Easter, it will be bad. The summer, it will be bad. The only thing I would say is, you know, we're lucky that EES hasn't come in at the same time. Although, you know, all the organisations saying we're ready for it, I hand on heart doubt that. The evidence I've seen leads me to believe that actually some of the big operators are not ready for it still. I mean, you know, we haven't got that to actually cope with as well. So, I mean, just be grateful for small mercies. But, you know, at some stage that will come in one form or another. But say the real difficulty is that, you know, the Highways Authority, you know, the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum, the police and all the powers to be need to make sure that every junction is operating. We don't get HGVs coming off and coming through the town. You know, you can police heavy goods vehicles. You're very difficult to police, or if not almost impossible, to actually make sure that tourist traffic goes where you want it. You know, so it's fingers crossed time. In fact, it's everything crossed time. Because, say, we've been here before and it isn't good.
Just try to describe for us, Kevin, if you would, what it is like living in Dover when it is particularly busy for those of us who don't live in the town.
It's like living in a car park and your house is in the middle of it. You ain't going nowhere. You know, you know, my office, you know, is a couple of miles from my house, my day job. If I go to that, I walk because you can't move. Nothing moves in Dover. The queues just gridlock Dover. And what people see is, oh, that's terrible, that traffic going to the docks. What they don't see is the traffic in Dover at the junctions, people trying to get around their normal business. Business is not able to function. You know, so, and I'm not exaggerating, nothing moves. Nothing can get into Dover, nothing can get out of Dover. So the cost to everybody is vast. I mean, I dread to think what the cost to the businesses in Dover is. Even if it's only a few days a year, what that cost is immense.
Well, highways bosses have confirmed Operation Brock will be removed from the M20 this weekend. The contraflow system is currently in place between Maidstone and Ashford, but will be deactivated on Sunday night. That means the motorway will be closed, but is due to reopen at 6 on Monday morning. And National Highways are lifting more than 95% of roadworks from motorways and major A roads for the festive season. That includes more than 100 miles of roadworks on the M25. It's hoped it'll help minimise disruption, as nearly 40% of drivers are said to be planning long journeys for Christmas. Now, don't forget, you can get travel updates on the blog at Kent Online, and you can hear regular bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM.
Kent Online reports.
A former Kent teacher who sexually abused a pupil during the 1980s has been sent to prison. Simon Montgomery used his position as a boarding school housemaster in Cranbrook to repeatedly assault assault a young boy in his care. The allegations were reported in 2022. The 70-year-old who lives in Littlefield Road in Raynham was sentenced to 3 years and 4 months. A Lenham woman's been rushed to hospital after suffering an allergic reaction to a rubber band in a Chinese takeaway. She started suffering breathing difficulties after it ended up in a chow mein and was treated overnight. Bosses at Chopsticks and Bowl in the village say they're shocked the band ended up in the meal and have apologised. A robber who stole cash from a post office in Broadstairs has been locked up. The 20-year-old threatened staff at the site on Ramsgate Road with a blade before making demands for money and then fleeing on a moped in August last year. He's been jailed for 2.5 years. Now, next today, this should be very good news for drivers. Kent's getting £54 million from the government to help fix potholes. Funding for our county is higher than any other part of the South East. Medway's also getting £5 million as part of Labour's plans to invest in infrastructure. Well, here's Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander.
There's been a decade of underinvestment from the previous government, and when we were in opposition, the Labour Party was clear that we would make this a priority when we got into government. We announced an additional £500 million. That's the equivalent to fixing an extra 7 million potholes. And so we're very conscious that a lot of people are going to be driving home for Christmas this weekend. Many roads are a bit like an obstacle course with potholes and roadworks. And so it's really critical that we get on and change people's experience of the roads and give people some hope that this time next year, when they're going home for Christmas, the roads will be in a better state. A huge number of people are rightly concerned about the appalling state of our roads. For the last decade, we've seen underinvestment by the previous government. It's no laughing matter if you hit a pothole, you end up taking your car to the garage, it costs you hundreds of pounds to get it sorted. And so it's imperative that this new Labour government takes action to fix this. That's why we are investing an additional £500 million into local council highways budgets next year. If they used all of that money to fix potholes, it would be the equivalent of fixing 7 million extra potholes. And so this is going to make a real difference to people.
Kent Online reports.
We've got further reaction now to yesterday's top story on the podcast, which was about our water bills going up. Well, the MP for East Thanet has criticised the increase as sewage leaks continue. Southern Water customers will see the biggest rise of 53% over the next 5 years. Polly Billington has been speaking to Oliver Leader de Sax from our colleagues at KMTV.
I was absolutely horrified. As somebody who pays my water rates here in Thanet to Southern Water, that kind of increase, I think, is appalling, bearing in mind they're still continuing to have bonuses and so forth, which is one of the reasons why I've written to the chief executive and said, this is the time when we know that those bills are going to go up for all of us to 58% in the next year, that the CEO of Southern Water does the right thing and doesn't take his bonus, but hands it over to the Marine Conservation Society, who do so much more for our clean waters than Southern Water do right now. So I think that is a reasonable thing for them to do. And I will be also pressing, as I have already done in the Houses of Parliament this week, to make sure that not only do we get the measures through in the water bill, which will take off, which will stop bonuses and give the give criminal powers to stop water bosses who fail in their duties when it comes to clean water, but also the Water Commission, the Independent Water Commission, for them to look very carefully at how we transform this industry, which is clearly working on a failed business model.
So I'm assuming that means that with what could be £86 bills, what do you kind of hope that they'll bring the bills down as soon as possible, so it's to and absorb some of those costs themselves from their bonuses? Is that something you'd like to see, like a reduction in bills in a way that we're not seeing today?
Well, what we've got is these bills have been agreed by the regulator. But one of the reasons why these bills are going up is because the shareholders are taking their dividends and the companies are sacking up their profits. And taking that money off bill payers who are having to pay the pay for the failures of over a decade or so of mismanagement by the companies because they have not been investing in the infrastructure. So the money we pay will be going towards investing in that infrastructure. It's just a pity they haven't been doing that themselves with their own money for the last decade or so. So we have the infrastructure that we need, so we don't end up with raw sewage being dumped in our seas.
Plans to regenerate part of Luton High Street near Chatham have been rejected. Developers wanted to knock down Medway Food Store and two other units to make way for 24 flats, offices and commercial space. Planning officers refused the project, though, over fears it would be an overdevelopment and out of keeping with neighbouring buildings. A Kent man is appealing for thieves to return his mother and stepfather's ashes after they were stolen from his van. The urn was taken in Bonnington near Ashford in the early hours of Saturday when Jeff Forrance was moving into an Airbnb. He just wants them to be left somewhere they can be found. No other items were taken. Inmates at a Kent prison have been busy refurbishing bikes to be sold back into the community. More than 150 have been upgraded by prisoners at HMP Swaleside as part of the council's cycle recycle scheme. Bosses say it helps teach new skills and provides affordable and sustainable transport for local residents.
Kent Online News.
Now, a Kent Animal Welfare charity is urging us to think twice about bringing home a rescue cat for Christmas. With just a few days to go, Battersea, which has a branch in Brands Hatch, are currently looking for around 200 forever homes for cats, but they're asking people to consider adopting a catpanion in the new year instead. Kate's been speaking to Bridie Williams, who's the charity's rehoming and welfare manager.
We do give a lot of advice around this because sometimes the festive season isn't the best time to get a cat anyway. Settling times are really important for cats. If you know you're going to have a busy Christmas, visitors, you're putting up decorations, there's going to be noise, now might not be the best time. For some people, it might be a good time, so we can have those conversations. We don't do surprises or gifts at Battersea because we think it's really important that the whole household, you're getting a new family member, so everyone should sort of meet the cat and be on board. So we don't sort of support the idea of a gift or a surprise of a pet, but sort of thinking, is now the right time for me? If it is, let's all get involved and make sure that we're getting the right cat and can settle it in properly.
I suppose people can always start to have those conversations now so that they maybe somewhere in the new year, as you say, when things have calmed down a little bit, that's when they can bring their pet home rather than at the busy Christmas time.
Exactly. Yeah. January tends to be, we're always really hopeful that January is a busier rehoming time because obviously in December, it might not be a good time to rehome a cat. So yeah, we're always looking forward to talking to people and looking for the right time for you to take a cat.
And is there an anticipation that after Christmas, you might see the arrival of more cats as people do take them on as Christmas presents or gifts and things like that? And suddenly they realize that they can't have one in their home. Do you see an increase in the start of the year?
So we sort of take it year to year. Sometimes there are sort of, you know, peaks and troughs of when people are needing to sort of bring their pets into us. So we'll see how it goes in January. Hopefully we will just see an increase in rehoming instead, and then we can get cats out into their lovely new homes at that point. But yeah, I think that it's just generally very busy for all rescues at the moment, and it has been for some time now.
A family of show people have won the right to continue living on Greenbelt land near Dartford. John Bailey, whose family have run fairs in Kent for around 100 years, applied to change the use of the land on the corner of Clement Street and Church Road in Sutton at Hone. They were challenged by the council but won on appeal because they need the space to store their rides and equipment. Some good news, Tony Hudgell is home from hospital after having surgery on a fractured hip. The 10-year-old who lives in Westmorling with his adoptive parents was injured last weekend but has now been discharged. He suffered life-changing injuries at the hands of his birth parents when he was just days old and has recently had an operation to allow him to walk without crutches. A clock tower that forms part of a disused rail works in Ashford is said to be returned to its former glory. It's part of the Newtown Road site that's being transformed into flats and film studios. An application has been put in to refurbish the Grade 2 listed clock and get it working again. You can see pictures at Kent Online. Elsewhere, plans to extend the seaside boardwalk in Folkestone have been given the green light. The new sections will connect an existing walkway on either side of the controversial Shoreline Flats development. The Coastal Trail currently runs along the former Rotunda site, linking the Lees Lift area and the former Folkestone Harbour Station. And finally, EastEnders and Love Island stars are set to play in a charity football match in Kent for a young boy who's battling cancer. 4-year-old Leslie Cook from Sittingbourne was diagnosed in March and is having chemo and radiotherapy along with regular blood tests. Well, the game at Ashford's Homeland Stadium in January will feature the likes of Jake Wood, Neil Ruddock and Callum Best. And now with a final roundup this year of everything going on in Kent this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
It's finally time to start winding down for Christmas. People all over the country are switching off their laptops, pouring a glass of mulled wine and getting excited for the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special. But there is still one weekend left before the big day. So why not treat your kids to some last-minute family fun this weekend with a trip to the Panto? Jack and the Beanstalk at the Astor Theatre in Deal and Snow White at the Rylance Theatre in Ashford open today. And I believe they're the final two Pantos in Kent to open for the season, so you have truly got your pick now. Whether you choose to see one of these newer shows or visit some that have already opened and been reviewed by us, such as the Orchard West Panto in Dartford or the Marlow Panto in Canterbury, it's simply not Christmas without a trip to the theatre. If you fancy getting some fresh air and getting your steps in before you fill up on turkey and mince pies, then a couple of country parks have got the perfect day out. Trosley Country Park and Shorn Country Park, both near Gravesend, are launching winter-themed outdoor trails from Saturday. All you need to do is head to the park, pick up a self-led trail sheet and follow the route, figuring out clues and finding facts along the way. And finally, if you want to squeeze in a romantic date night before the family descends for Christmas, you can head to the Harbour Arm in Folkestone to watch an outdoor screening of The Holiday. The festive favourite will be shown on the big screen on Sunday from midday and it's totally free to watch. So there's plenty to keep you busy this weekend, but I'll be honest, I won't blame you at all if all you want to do is stay indoors, pop something festive on the TV and put your feet up before all of the Christmas chaos next week. All that's left to say is I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and I wish you all a very Happy New Year.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and Gillingham are in action tonight, their final game before Christmas. They welcome Cheltenham Town to Priestfield in League Two. Mark Bonner's side are currently ninth and will be hoping to make it three wins in a row. Let's hear from the manager.
Cheltenham are playing well at the moment. I think they're in a good run of point scoring in the league and some good cup results as well. So I think we play them where they're playing well. Watched their cup game against Cambridge a couple of weeks ago. They had a good win against Morecambe last week. And they're on a fairly good run of results and form, and they've climbed the table after a start of the season, which was probably likely, having had as much change as they had in terms of players, manager, the whole structure and everything changed there in the summer. So it took a little bit of time for them to get going, but they're in a nice rhythm at the moment. I think the front four are really, really creative for them and have got a lot of threats at the top end of the pitch. So we'll have to be ready for a really energetic, aggressive team and a hard-running team that can cause you big problems in your defence, in your own half. So that's some of the work we've been doing this week to prepare for that, to try to start this period well, where it does get very, very busy, and continue on from a good result and performance for us last week.
I know you'll be very keen to make it three wins in a row. I don't think we've achieved that yet this season. And of course, with a positive result, we put us into the top six or seven before everybody else plays Saturday, which is an incentive in itself.
Yeah, nice incentive for everybody, I think, ahead of Saturday's games. But then that can change within 24 hours. So that's less the focus, I guess. It's more about us continuing the good work that we've found, and we've got a little edge and a bit of a bounce about us off the back of the last couple of results. So I think the key is that we try and consolidate that level. We'll need to be good to win the game. We know how hard some of the games here we found this season, and we'll certainly need to be at the top of our game to continue on the results that we've had. In the last two wins, albeit similar scorelines, in very different games, and I expect that this one will look quite different to last weekend as well. So yeah, it's one to look forward to. What I do hope and I do think is, I always think under the lights you can get really good atmosphere, so I expect that to be the case this weekend, and I expect us to continue building on the level that we've been in the last few weeks.
Well, kickoff is at 7:45. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM, in the morning. And a Kent boxer says he's ready to go to war when he fights on the undercard of the Tyson Fury-Alexander Usyk rematch. This weekend, Chatham's Moses Itama is a rising star of the heavyweight division and will face off against Australian Dempsey Casey McKean in Riyadh. The 19-year-old has been sparring with Fury ahead of the event. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget to check out the Secret Drinker review on the website today. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.